Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSS Working Group Communication Tool Classroom. This is meant to be fairly informal, so the plan is to just run through the communication tools that are used frequently in GNSO working groups, some of which I'm sure you're very familiar with, other you might not be aware of. So the point is to go over them for about 30 minutes to 40 minutes, and then afterwards go over your questions. Because this is booked for 1 hour, therefore, if you'd rather ask questions as we go along, please do so. As you can see, there are many others that are hosts right now in the room. This is because we're having a few technical issues with the voiceover IP. If you do have audio issues and you cannot hear me, for instance, please write it in the chat and we will do our best to fix it very shortly. So, before going ahead, I wanted to introduce you to a few members of the team. When you're in working groups, you'll get emails from different members of ICANN staff. I'd like to divide them into two different groups, just for your understanding. So you'll have ICANN staff who support the GNSO, which are specified more with contents. You'll see them, they'll be drafting and editing documents for working groups. These are the faces you see on the screen at the moment. We're just missing out our latest hire, who's Emily Barabas. Those of you in the new DTLD Subsequent Procedures group will know her. Some names that you know, Marika Koenigs, Mary Wong, etc. For those of you who are coming to Hyderabad, for instance, if you do see any of our faces, please don't hesitate to stop and introduce yourselves. It's always a pleasure to meet new members. The next page, we have the GNSO team contacts for admin technical support. So that's the team I work with. I'm on the slide there, Natalie Perobin, with Terry Agnew and Michelle Desmiter. We support the working groups more from a scheduling and technical running side of things. If you cannot make it to a meeting, for instance, you can send us your apologies. If you have technical difficulties, which is funny given that we're the ones having those today, you can still write to us and we'll do everything we can to help solve those issues. So please don't hesitate to reach out. So for the agenda today, trying to make it simple, which is first to give you an overview of where to find the information regarding the GNSO. It's spread out on several different interfaces, which can make it a tiny bit complicated, so I'll try to simplify it for you. Then a quick rundown of mailing lists. There are different sorts of mailing lists and GNSO working groups, and this can be slightly confusing. Then a section for working group members, followed by an Adobe Connect overview and how to behave and what to do with the Adobe Connect room once you're in it. Next, where to find information regarding ICANN public meetings. I'm sure you're aware we have the Hyderabad meeting coming up very soon. If you cannot make it to that conference, there are ways to join remotely, and so I'll run you through them. And then lastly, I'll finish off with a shameless promotion of our GNSO Learn platform, which I believe is really quite excellent for newcomers and for others. So moving on to the first section, where to find information. I think the key tool we use is the GNSO Master Calendar. So I haven't put that many URLs in the slide deck because, well, you can't click on them, so it's fairly useless. However, if you look to the bottom right of the Adobe Connect pod, you have a pod called Web Links, where I try to put in relative chronological order the URLs we'll be talking about. So just for your ease, it'd be good if you could click on them as we went along and just bookmark those links, because I believe that staff members, as much as community members, use these links daily regarding GNSO matters. So it will help you navigate. So the GNSO Master Calendar is the third link down in the web link pod. This is quite handy. It gives you the GNSO working group, the cross-community working group, drafting team, and council meeting dates ahead of time. That is to say that the minute a call is scheduled or announced, it also finds its way onto the GNSO Master Calendar. And as you can see from the screenshot there, we also post the recordings. As those of you who are working group members know, when a working group call has finished, you receive an email with the attendance and the recordings, but you know, emails can get lost or buried under your other emails. So this is one of the spots where you'll be able to find everything posted there. We try to post meetings and webinars, etc., well ahead of time, so it's definitely a fairly reliable tool. The next page, which many of you who are working group members will know, is the GNSO landing page on the wiki. So the wiki is the more active working tool in the GNSO. As you can see, if you look along the tabs at the top here, the white top tab that's highlighted is the GNSO tab. This is called the GNSO dashboard. In the GNSO dashboard, it links you to all the different GNSO workspaces. So this means the GNSO council with the council meetings, all the IoT, so the implementation review teams, and equally the GNSO working groups and cross-community working groups. So if you're not sure where your wiki workspace is, you will just navigate to this GNSO landing page and work your way down that menu to find your working group workspace. So every single GNSO working group workspace is built in exactly the same manner. So this is the next generation GTLD Registration Directory Services workspace. So we call it RDS for time-saving reasons. So if you look at the menu on the left-hand side, I know it's quite small, I apologize for that. You have a list of the working group meetings. So this means that every single RDS working group meeting has its own page with the agenda, attendance, action items and notes, and background documents, as well as documents posted in the Adobe Connect room. They all make it to the meeting page after the end of the call. So that's quite a handy go-to area if ever you've missed a working group meeting. As you can see, you also have posted here the background documents to the working group, the list of the working group members and the mailing list archives for the public mailing lists. So this is more of an active document repository, given that it's updated after every meeting. Yes, it's one of the most updated interfaces for working group activities. Moving on to the working group mailing lists. Now, this can be quite confusing because it's fairly complicated. There's a reason for that. So for those of you that are observers on working groups, you will have been subscribed to one mailing list only, which is what we call the public mailing list, and it's identifiable because the URL starts with GNSO, followed by the acronym of your working group with at ICANN.org. So it's open and public, meaning that the archives are completely open and public and anyone has access to them. This is a discussion mailing list. Observers have read-only rights to it and members can post to it. Those of you who are members are subscribed to a second mailing list, which is closed. There are no archives to it. And it's identifiable by the fact it starts with NTFY, which is short for notify. So as the title suggests, staff notifies the members of a conference call with the dial-in details and sends it to the members via this list. Because it's for dial-in details only, members cannot post back to it. So if you receive the email invitation from this notify mailing list and want to reply to it, for example, asking for a dial-out or sending apologies, you will only send it to staff that way because staff are always CC'd in those email invitations. It's very important to not share dial-in information on the public list, so the non-notify list, because as I've just said, these web details are only for members. Now, as has been said, when you've joined working groups, that if you are an observer and you want to become a member, it's extremely simple. You simply need to email the SOAC support email address. So You can see it at the bottom of the slide here, geneso-secs@icann.org. And you also have it as last link on the web link pod here at the bottom. A few things about mailing list etiquette. It's very easy to feel swamped once you join a working group with the sheer volume of emails that are received. So they can go from 3 or 4 emails with plus one in the email body to a very, very long amount of texts. This is why when there's a follow-up on an email thread, we should try to make it as clear as possible. This means not relying on the fact your email address is visible to think that you are identified. Now, as you're aware, some working groups have up to 150 members, so we have to be really clear on who we are when we're sending the email. So a first and last name signature is a lot easier. If you're quoting passages, make sure to remind other readers who you're quoting from and which is the quote and which is your own opinion. Anything which is, for example, a technical question or an apology or a dialogue request does not need to be sent to the mailing list. If you'll notice in a lot of these discussions, our email address, so again, the geneso-secs email address is CC'd. So just write to us. There's 5 of us on that mailing list, 5 staff support on that mailing list. So sending an email there means we cover many, many time zones. You will get noticed that email will get taken into account. So please don't overload other members' inboxes with those communications. And last thing, don't hesitate to ask questions or comments, is a very valid one. It can be a bit bewildering, especially if you join a working group a few months in, faced with the sheer knowledge of some of the working group members. But bear in mind that for every one person who is highly knowledgeable in a working group, there are many, many other newcomers as yourselves who are probably feeling as bewildered. So any questions are acceptable, even if they highlight maybe ignorance on some more precise elements of discussion of the working group. Other newcomers will thank you for having asked those questions because they were presumably asking themselves the same one. And the more veteran of the members will, enjoy the opportunity to share input and also realize that simplified arguments are as helpful as others. So please don't feel intimidated and ask away. This is a section specifically for working group members. The reason being is that when you join a working group as a member, as opposed to an observer, you're therefore subscribed, as mentioned previously, to both the mailing lists, but you also have to submit a statement of interest. We call them SOIs. So these take place also on the wiki, so where we saw the GNSO working group workspaces are too. And there's a link on the 4th URL in the web link pod to the GNSO statements of interest. When you have signed up to be a member, you have received an email with your wiki login, which is generally your first name dot your last name, and the request to fill in the statement of interest. It's very important to do so. If you don't do so after a few weeks, your status will automatically be downgraded to observer. It makes sense. Your statement of interest is your presentation to other working group members so they can better understand your interest or just your subject matter curiosity. It's also just a question of courtesy. So a statement of interest looks like this one. We've got Chuck Gomes' statement of interest here as an example. That is fairly straightforward. Your first name, the photo is obviously optional. Just something about questions number 2 and 3. Stakeholder groups and constituencies, so by constituencies we mean the business constituency, for example, or the intellectual property constituency. These are member groups within ICANN. So familiarity with the interests of the business constituency, for example, doesn't make you a business constituency member. You do have to be a recognized member of these groups. If you are not, that's not a problem at all. You would just not fill in these slots, and you would put yourself down as an individual. If you go to the working group workspaces and the membership lists, you can see that the majority of members are indeed individuals and don't have direct affiliations to stakeholder groups or constituencies. At the beginning of each working group call, you'll hear the chair ask if anyone has updates to statements of interest. This means that if any of the details of your initial reasons for joining your working group have changed, it's important to reflect that on the statement of interest so everyone is kept updated. So once you become a member, you'll start receiving email invitations, which look like this. All email invitations to GNSO working groups look the same. So I won't run you through the entire content of the email because that would be excruciatingly boring, but I will try to point out the more important signs. The first thing to notice is that the time of the meeting is in UTC. This is universal time, though this is just a lot easier to have the one same set time zone that doesn't actually link to any precise country. Because not everyone knows what the UTC time is, invariably after the UTC time on the email, we convert it into Pacific time, Eastern time, or European time too. If you're not based in any of those specific time zones, you have the tiny URL in the email that links you to the time and date website where you will be able to find the exact time conversion for your location. You then have an explanation of how to connect your Adobe Connect Room audio. That's if you want to connect via the microphone. And if you scroll a little bit further down, you'll see at the bottom of the slide is participant's passcode. This participant passcode is the audio passcode, which means that if you wanted to connect to a conference call via telephone, you would ring in the numbers that are listed below, starting with Argentina, and talk to an audio operator and give him that passcode. The passcode, of course, will be one which is remains identical for the duration of the working group conference calls. When we send email invitations, we also send calendar invitations. We send calendar invitations directly from our Outlook calendar. We've realized that some inboxes, I think Yahoo accounts, and maybe if you're using your professional email address for ICANN matters, this will be a problem too, that either our calendar invites just didn't get through, or they bounced, or they got sometimes automatically posted to the workplace calendar, which was slightly embarrassing for the members in question. So to back that up, we also use an ICS attachment on the email invitations. So, of course, if your inbox allows you to accept calendar invites directly, there's no need to download the ICS attachment. That means one slight issue that we haven't found a workaround yet is that, of course, if you've accepted our calendar invitation directly, if we make changes to the time of the call, for instance, or the date, or if we just cancel the event, we'll send you a cancellation which will reflect automatically in your inbox. However, if you've downloaded the ICS attachment, you will have to do that yourself because we clearly don't have direct access to your inbox via an attachment. So that's something you do need to think about when you see call detail changes. Next, the Adobe Connect Room and conference calls. So just a quick overview of the Adobe Connect Room. The first thing is that, and for those of you who have been part of working groups for a little longer maybe, you'll have noticed certain changes to the login page. And this is because we're updating all our Adobe Connect Rooms. The key thing is to always sign in as a guest. I know there's a login option on the page. This is only for staff. It does not concern community members. So all you need to do is to sign in as a guest with your first and your last name, always, one, because attendance is taken in working groups and attendance is archived and provided as an additional document to the final issue report, to the final reports at the end of a working group. So it's key to have your name on that attendance sheet. Other things to know, and this is quite actual, is that We do have specific updates to do to these new Adobe Connect rooms, and they're still a work in progress. So some people have had issues logging in, whereas before they didn't. So the key thing is to take down this this URL, the tanurl.com/ICANACtest. You have the link as a fifth URL in the web link pod. That simply is that it's a 30-second test that tests all your updates in the Adobe Connect room. And if you do have any issues there, it will fix it. And if you don't, it at least gives us an idea of what's been done or not to your Adobe Connect room versions. So please keep that link. And if you have colleagues who run into login issues with Adobe Connect room, please circulate it to them. So the pod where you're seeing the current slide is called the Share Pod. In this, we can upload documents, PDF or PowerPoint, and move slides along. Hopefully, in the very near future, we'll be able to do a lot more than that. I'm quite excited about this, but because we have nothing set in stone yet, I can't share it with you. But we should be seeing some fairly important improvements to the Adobe Connect room shortly. The AC chat pod, so that's the one which is at the bottom of the room with my welcome message on. Several things to know about this. All the content of this, the chat you see here, is kept and archived. It is then circulated to the mailing list of your working group, and it is also posted on the Wiki GNSO Working Group workspace. So some form of decorum is encouraged here. However, you also have the possibility of having a private exchange with a participant or a host. To do that, you would click on the person's name you want to talk to, and the drop-down menu appears, and you have the option to start a private chat. This chat is completely private. ICANN staff have no way of retrieving this chat. We wouldn't want to, but we have no way of retrieving it. It is a properly private chat. So it's important to use that, for instance, to, of course, communicate with participants, but equally to reach out to staff if you have difficulty during a call, if you need a dial out, if you have problems hearing. Please don't hesitate to private chat any staff member for assistance. Other members do that frequently, and we'd much rather work to solve the issue with you at the beginning of a call rather than have you struggle for the duration. There are a few Adobe Connect Room protocols in GNSO working groups. For instance, you cannot just start speaking or answer a question. For example, if the chair asks, you have to raise your hand first. So to raise your hand, if you look at the top of the Adobe Connect Room toolbar, you have a hand raised option with a drop-down menu. So this enables you to raise your hand. This doesn't give you the opportunity to just speak the minute your hand has been raised. This signals to the chair, and hence again the advantages of signing in with your first and last name, but this signals to the chair that you have a comment or a question. This does not mean he is obligated to let you speak immediately. It just means that he has seen you. If there are several people who have raised their hands, the chair can see who is the first person to do so and will take you in order of hands raised. It's very important once you finish your comment or your question to remember to go back to this drop-down menu and lower your hand. Otherwise, it signals to the chair that you'd like to speak further. You'll hear a lot of people forget to do that, and when the chair calls out their name because their hand is still raised, they'll reply saying that they apologize for the old hand. The old hand is nothing negative. It simply means they've forgotten to lower their hand after making their first comment. The chair will also use this tool for quick polls. For instance, maybe the asking participants if there is a need for a call next week. In that case, rather than have several people chat in the type in the chat, yes, 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 you can use the green tick or the red cross here and signal your agreement or your disagreement to what is being said or to the question that's being asked. It's quite a good method of taking a quick poll. Of course, all ICANN communication is expected to abide by the ICANN expected standards of behavior. These are regularly updated too, depending on needs. You have the link to the ICANN expected standards of behavior in the web link pod. These will be invoked very, very rarely, but they have been invoked by members of staff to make sure that all discussions remain civil, that people do not digress into other discussions or use the working group area as a pretext for another discussion. So it's if you do see mentioned the ICANN expected standards of behavior, this is what we're talking about, and it's worth having a quick browse just out of interest. And here they are. It's a document that will be linked to in the web link pod. So there's a good question from Vincent in the Adobe Connect room. He's asking, does step away below the button disagree mean abstain for voting? No, it does not, but it could be interpreted as such. That's a very good point. I don't think I've ever seen it used in that way, but I could see why it might. What this means simply is that the person is staying connected via audio, for example, but is literally stepping away from their laptop or computer. So if anything is going on the SharePod or in the AC chat, then they wouldn't be able to see it directly. So it's just a warning that they might not be as attentive as they should be for a few minutes. That's all it means. Does that help in a sense? Okay, great. A good question. Okay, the Adobe Connect audio, again, I apologize that you're not actually going to manage to do this today because we have issues with it. However, for future reference, if you do want to connect via the Adobe Connect bridge, it is fairly simple. You have the telephone icon at the top of the toolbar, and when you click on that option, it will give you the choice to connect via the telephone bridge, which you would have to do yourself following the instructions on the email invitation, or to connect via voice over IP. To do that simply using your microphone, you click yes to the two microphone option questions, which will appear in the pop-up, and then your microphone will automatically be activated. The key here is to always remember to go back and mute your microphone. The microphone activates and is automatically not on mute, which means that anything you're doing at that moment, and some of these microphones are very sensitive, will be heard in the conference call. So please, please always remember to mute and unmute. The microphone is enabled for all our conference calls except today. You would know that because logging into the Adobe Connect room, in the attendance list on the right, you will have a small microphone icon next to your name. Now, that microphone icon does not mean that your microphone is activated. It means that the option is enabled. So we hear a lot of people say that their Adobe Connect microphone doesn't work. It does work. They simply need to activate it. So you would do that, as I just said, by going into the telephone icon at the top of the Adobe Connect toolbar and following the instructions there. If during the conference call your connection drops and you have to re-enter the Adobe Connect room, you then need to do that again and go through the motions. It takes about 3 seconds. It is that quick. It's fairly painless. So just to go over the motions for working group members, you would get the email invitation from staff. So if you have an apology or dial-out request, that's the moment. You would then, if joining via the phone, dial into the audio bridge and provide your passcode verbally to the operator. At the same time, you join the Adobe Connect room and log in your first and last name. And you simply remember that everything you do or write or say in the Adobe Connect room will be recorded and kept apart from the private chat. But ICANN public meeting. We have, Mary's commenting in the chat. She's saying, while Adobe Audio works really well for listening in, it's usually better for people with strong connections to join via the conference bridge, as that tends to be more stable when you're speaking. That's a very good point. For listening purposes, clearly the Adobe Connect room is absolutely fine. If you are a presenter or you have a tendency to be very active in working group calls, it's a very good point to join by the phone line. It will always be a more stable and strong connection than the Adobe Connect room. Thank you for that, Mary. So we have Hyderabad. We have the ICANN 57 meeting coming up in Hyderabad. For those of you who won't be able to go there yourselves, you're encouraged to join remotely. It's sometimes a bit confusing to know how to do so. So several things. We have the ICANN meetings website, which contains all the up-to-date information. It will soon have the schedule appear there and other events too. What's important here for the GNSO specifically is that whereas the schedule on the meetings website will give you the Adobe Connect rooms, Adobe Connect rooms are different for ICANN meetings than they are for out of ICANN meetings conference calls. So it's very important to follow the schedule properly. The schedule can be tailor-made. So when you go through it and you are only interested in GNSO meetings, you can filter your schedule to have a tailor-made schedule reflecting only the meetings you're interested in. And you can transform all of these into ICS attachments and download them to your calendar. So that's a fairly neat trick to not have to work your way through the enormous schedule that we'll be facing in Hyderabad. Now, for GNSO calls, you also have the option of dialing in via the phone. And for this, we've set up a page on the wiki. We cannot put the phone details on this schedule, unfortunately. You'll be having a grid on the wiki. This was the one for Helsinki in June, where you have, again, the Adobe Connect rooms, but also the passcodes for the audio bridges and the links to the agenda pages of these individual GNSO meetings. So don't need to worry about saving all that. Many, many emails will be sent to the different working groups with all that information prior to Hyderabad. And I'll finish with quite a lengthy moment on GNSO Learn. GNSO Learn is part of the ICANN Learn interactive platform that you can access from the ICANN website. It is simply a case of creating a login and password. It takes you a few seconds, but these courses are really quite good. I followed this. I went on the GNSO Learn in order to help the colleague who created it, and I approached it fairly condescendingly and ended the course feeling slightly ashamed that I had actually learned something new, which wasn't what I had intended. It's a hop-on, hop-off course, which starts with a fairly general overview of the GNSO, down to some of the more specific mechanisms, such as the role of the GNSO counselors, the actual role of the council, which can be a bit confusing. So it's very interesting. None of the results or the responses are recorded in any way. It remains only as an available learning tool, nothing more. These are some of the items covered. So you have the differences between the stakeholder groups and constituencies, the expectations of the role and responsibilities of the GNSO counselors. A fairly hefty part of it is directed to the policy development process, which can be slightly impenetrable. And there are also quite a few handy videos of veteran members of the GNSO talking about the different roles from when they started to a member of the working group to the different, maybe more visible roles that they had within the GNSO going through the years. So it's quite an entertaining learning tool. It is being updated as we go along. We do try to keep it fairly up to date and actual. So we will, adding on to this GNSO Learn platform, hold several more webinars. So we have these GNSO Working Group Communication Tool Classroom webinars. I suppose that the next one scheduled will also cover the new Adobe Connect Room features. These will, of course, be circulated to you via email, and you will be kept up to date. We have webinars, too, regarding what it is to be a GNSO Working Group newcomer. So these are hosted by community members who are working group chairs or ex-working group chairs, and who will be able to share their experiences too, maybe their perception of the theoretical role of working group chair through to what it actually was like and what they learned from it. So those are fairly interesting webinars. We will also have, starting after Hyderabad, holding webinars or presentation of the policy development process itself. We've often approached it as part of another webinar and believe now with the expansion of cross-community working groups that more interest needs to be paid to making the policy development process known and understood by all. So these should all be quite handy for working group members, just to understand the micro aspect of being in a working group, as well as the macro aspect, how you fit into the whole process. Added on to that, you have acronym helpers, which are extremely handy within ICANN on the GNSO homepage, the GNSO website homepage. You have ICANN Learn, so which is the hosting platform for GNSO Learn, which covers a great deal of established ICANN matters, as well as burning topics descriptions and aids. So that's quite handy. The best thing, of course, is to find an experienced working group member, either from your working group or from your stakeholder group constituency, and ask any silly questions. You'll be quite surprised to see how eager experienced working group members are to share their knowledge, simply because they will always welcome more collaboration. And of course, ICANN staff, more particularly GNSO support staff, are always welcome to help you. You see, Mary has been helping me in the chat, and so she is not part of the SOAC support group. She is part of the content support. And then you have Glenn and Terry, who have also joined me, who are part of the SOAC support team. And any others and more are always available to help you and take your questions. But I'm horribly aware that you cannot actually talk to me via the Adobe Connect room. But as we're towards the end of the presentation, please write your questions in the chat, and I'll be happy to take them. So while I'm just waiting to Vincent to finish typing, as a reminder, the recordings of this webinar, as well as a slide deck, will be circulated to those of you who RSVP'd, and will also be posted on the GNSO Master Calendar. And Vincent's question, is it necessary to tick the box enter as a guest when connecting to the Adobe Connect room? Yes, it is. You simply because it will be the only way for you to enter the Adobe Connect room. The other option is the one which is called an Okta single sign-on, I think. That is only for ICANN staff. So you could tick it, but you would need to have a staff login. Unless you have very strong connections within ICANN, I believe you might have to stick to entering as a guest. So the two webinars we were talking about, the newcomer working group webinar and the PDP webinar, will be held after Hyderabad, and you will get ample notification of those. Vincent's saying, I just typed my name, I didn't check the box. Okay, well, that's great to know. That is something I will relay to the tech team, simply because, as proven today, they're still ironing out the bugs. So any more information they get regarding little glitches such as this one will help a lot. So thank you very much for raising that, Vincent. And indeed, to all of you, if you do notice anything a bit different to your Adobe Connect room experience, maybe if it seems just a tiny detail to you, please raise it, because this is what we're working at the moment, and every single bit of information is important. Thank you very much for that, Vincent. With that, seeing no further question, and knowing that, hoping that you'll email us if you do run into any difficulty. And I'd like to thank you all for joining today, and looking forward to seeing you on working group calls. Thank you very much, and have a good remainder of your day.